WRIRLP 97.3 FM, Richmond, Virginia. Richmond Independent Radio, and radio for the rest of yous. You were listening to Eric Walters and Why Dear Folk. And now it's time for Edge of Americana with me, Josh Behrman, and Otto, who is fiddling with things right now. But he's here, so don't fear. And we had such a good time and an edifying time also last week doing the live recordings and field recordings that we decided to do another week of these. We could do, I think, as we said at the end of last year's – or last week's show, we could probably do a whole – whatever it was. It's been years. Anyway, last week's show that we could probably do an endless amount of those shows. But we'll do two anyway to start with. So let's get it going. This fellow here was honored just today by the United States Congress. So we'll start off with a little bit of Lester Flatt and also Earl Scruggs and the rest of the band live at Carnegie Hall back when. Here's Dig a Hole in the Meadow.
What makes you sleep so sound? The highway robbers are coming, they're gonna tear your playhouse down. Dig a hole in the meadow, dig a hole in the cold ground. Dig a hole, dig a hole in the meadow. Buckled around her and a banjo on her knee.
Dig a hole in the meadow, dig a hole in the cold, cold ground. Dig a hole, dig a hole in the meadow, gonna lay down and cold it down.
Oh, wake up, darling Corey. Give me my dinner. I ain't no man for trouble, but I die before I drown.
Dig a hole in the meadow, dig a hole in the cold, cold ground. Dig a hole, dig a hole in the meadow, gonna lay down and cold it down.
The worm. I wonder when the tide's gonna turn. I'm either late or way behind. I never get no on time. The early bird always gets the worm. I went to see my gal the other night. That old moon was really shining bright. She was sitting there with another man, and you ought to see them holding hands. The early bird always gets the worm. My gal said she'd wait and even swore that no one else could beat my time. She married a man from Caroline. The early bird always gets the worm. Thank you. gets the worm. I wonder when the tide's gonna turn. I'm either late or way behind and never get nowhere on time. The early bird always gets the worm.
Thank you. Did you ever write any songs?
No, sir. Oh, because I never got no learn to write none.
Did you ever make any up? No.
I had so many in my head, I didn't have to make up at one time. Though now, I've just done lost out, you see, gentlemen. Yes, sir. Pieces, of course, I ain't got the voice to sing them about. See all them kind of pieces I used to know way back, you know.
What was the name of that?
Ain't You Mighty Sorry.
Ain't You Mighty Sorry?
Sorry, I'm the one pretty girl in this state. Ain't You Mighty Sorry, there she goes over the mountain through the snow. Said, almost break my heart to see her go. Yes, sir. I done forgot. I haven't known if anybody ever come around to view me about songs and stuff. I'd try to chip them in the head. Yes, indeed. I'd play around for the people here. I never picked no other ways, you know.
And that's Clarence Tross right there from Durgan, West Virginia, not far from Petersburg, West Virginia, which isn't too far from here, actually, in northern kind of just south of the Panhandle. And that song is called Ain't She Mighty Sorry, and that's just a beautiful recording. Says I, both the build up, the actual song, and then the discussion afterwards. I mean, just he sounds like an incredibly nice person, I would say, more than anything else. And to look at pictures of him, you'd believe it too. And that was recorded by Kip Lornell, and that's available from the Berea College archives. And what do we have before that? That was a really interesting track. There was actually a banjo on there. I don't know for all those who heard it.
Yeah, it's way in the background. Almost sounds like a choir on that recording. Yeah. That was one of these Alan Lomax recordings where he put together some disparate musicians and kind of got a nice thing going on there. You had Nat Ramings, who was the drummer, playing some sort of Bahamian conga thing. Hobart Smith from Virginia was on the banjo softly in the background there. And then the most prominent instrument, of course, was Ed Young, playing the cane fife, and that was recorded in May of 1960, right down the road in Williamsburg, Virginia.
Yeah, that's true. So that's music of kind of Georgia Sea Islands meets Virginia.
Meets old time.
It's all old. Oh, and I'm feeling a little old today myself, but you know, just as old as I am. And now I'm just talking to talk. So let's just get back to the music. What do we have, Otto?
We're going to do a recording by Belton Reese and. I don't know too much specifically about Belton, but this was recorded by a guy named Lawrence Gellert. And in the mid-30s, Lawrence Gellert was going around the Southeast, North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, collecting folk songs of black Americans. And this is a track that he recorded during those trips, and it's pretty nice song.
You know, I realize I didn't say what the other songs we heard were before we get to that. I'm sorry, Otto. We heard Hot Rise before that with Blue Night, recorded in 1978, one of the Hot Rise's first performances, and that was recorded by Tut Taylor.
Right. And then we had an E.C. Ball track, one of my favorites. Again, a Virginia artist recorded in Rugby, Virginia, actually on a little road there called Grassy Creek Road, and that was E.C. Ball.
And we started with Lester Flatt and Earl Scruggs and the whole gang doing Dig a Hole in the Meadow from live at Carnegie Hall in 1962. So now
Belton Reese.
Now Belton Reese. Enjoy. Give us a call if you'd like, 649-9737, or check out the playlist online at WRIR.org.
Oh, I'm My mother, she used to sing it a lot, and I liked the song, thought it had a good tune, so I remembered it.
Was that a fairly popular song at one time, if I remember? Because I noticed a lot of people had recorded it.
It probably was when she was young, but then she remembered it. And, come all you Texas Rangers, wherever you may be. I'll tell you of some trouble that happened unto me. I was the age of 17 when I joined the soldier band, and we marched from San Antonio unto the Rio Grande. We marched through mountain passes, no settlement in sight. We marched through Indian country, we marched both day and night. Our captain, he informed us, perhaps he thought it right. Before we reached the station, he's sure we'd have to fight. We heard those Indians. I'm trying to get it lower, it's too high for me. We heard those Indians coming, we heard them give a yell. My feelings at that moment, no human tongue can tell. I saw the smoke ascending, it almost reached the sky. The very first thought came o'er me, this is my time to die. We fought for 9 long hours before the strife was o'er. The like of dead and wounded I never saw before. 19 of the bravest cowboys that ever saw the West were lying by their comrades with arrows in their breast. Perhaps you have a mother, perhaps a sister too. Perhaps you have a sweetheart to weep and mourn for you. And if this be your condition, I'll tell you not to roam. If this be your condition, you'd better stay at home.
When it comes to snow, baby. What you gonna do when it comes to snow? Catch them rabbits as they go, babe. Catching rabbits ain't no sin, baby. Catching rabbits ain't no sin. Turn them loose and catch them again, babe. Oh, Mr. Rabbit is sitting by log, baby. Oh, Mr. Rabbit, sitting by log. Yes, by Joe, I'm watching for a dog, babe. Oh, Mr. Rabbit, you're urging my sin, baby. Oh, Mr. Rabbit, you're urging my sin. Yes, by Joe, take a split to win, babe. Oh, Mr. Rabbit, your tail's mighty wide, baby. Oh, Mr. Rabbit, your tail's mighty white. Yes, by Joe, and I can shake it out of sight, babe. Oh, Mr. Rabbit, your eyes are mighty red, baby. Oh, Mr. Rabbit, your eyes are mighty red. Yes, by Joe, and I'm darn nigh dead, babe.
Some people call it Old Mr. Rabbit, and some people call it What You Gonna Do When Your Meat Gives Out. Most everybody calls it Old Mr. Rabbit. There ain't nothing else like it.
Going across the mountain, oh, fairly well. Going across the mountain, hear my banjo tell. I got my rations on my back. My powder hit is dry. Going across the mountain, Chrissy, don't you cry. Going across the mountain, oh, fare you well. Going across the mountain, oh, fare you well. Going across the mountain, to join the boys in blue. When it's all well done, then I'll come back to you. Going across the mountain, oh, fare you well. Going across the mountain. If I have to crawl, to give old Jasmine a little taste of my life and all. Way before it's good daylight, nothing happens to me. I'll be way down yonder in old Tennessee. I'm going across the mountain, oh, fine well. Gone, but I'm going through when this fighting's over, and I'll come back to you. Going across the mountain, oh, fairly well. Going across the mountain, you can hear my banjo bell.
My oh my, that's Frank Prophet right there. Most famous for being the source of Tom Dooley, which I actually have that recording a little later on. But that's a tune called Going Across the Mountain, recorded by Frank and Ann Warner I believe that was recorded in the 1950s at some point or another. If I had turned this to the right page at the right moment, I would have that answer for you. But anyway, that was 1959, and it's a Civil War era song that Frank learned from his father, Wiley Prophet. So that's really nice stuff there. And we had two kind of nice solo voice and banjo tunes before that.
Before that we had Dan Tate from Fancy Gap, Virginia, doing Old Mr. Rabbit there. And that's one of those Field Recording Collective releases. And we don't know a whole lot about Dan Tate, but we found a lovely picture of him on the internet here. He looked the part in his overalls and his banjo, and
he's also wearing glasses, where if he were walking around the VCU area of Richmond right now, he would be very hip.
Yes, he's got he's got the black horn rims on and the fedora.
Yeah, he looks good.
He's the consummate thing of coolness there. And before that, we had
Before that was Eunice Alexander.
Yep.
Singing Texas Rangers, and that was also recorded by Kip Lornell. And I especially love that recording when she decides to change keys. You know, it just goes to show that's one thing. One thing that's best about field recordings is that they are not performances, and you can do that kind of thing if you want.
No, it sounded nice. I enjoyed listening to her find her note there. Mm-hmm. And then before that, we had Belton Reese started the set there with Bile Dim Cabbages Down,
which is that's an incredibly hot track right there. I really enjoyed that.
The bones sounded real good.
Yeah, had a good beat. Good beat, and I could dance to it. Well, Otto, what do you got?
I got next, sort of a war horse of old time. I got Going Down the Road Feeling Bad, and this is Uncle Charlie Higgins, Wade Ward, and Dale Poe playing at one of these auctions, basically.
All right. Here we go.
Thank you. Stanley Moore is shifting to a new broadcast time, 11 a.m. Please join us for more of the news, interviews, from our parenting roundtable to the guys in the barbershop, all the features of Tell Me More, beginning at 11 a.m. on WRIR-LP 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio. A new start time, same smart program from NPR News.
Cornstalk fiddle and a shoestring bow. Sugar, my bowl, sweet my bowl, sugar and she can't be beat. Corn stalk fiddle and a shoestring bow, corn stalk fiddle and a shoestring bow.
Thank you.
Author and scholar of the mind, Jesse Prinz, will speak about how to find common good in a morally diverse world at the University of Richmond's Jepson Leadership Forum, January the 27th at 7 p.m. in Jepson Alumni Center. And that's tomorrow, by the way. Prinz will discuss striking examples of moral variation throughout history and the quest for finding ways to deal with moral absolutism. The forum is open to the public at no charge, but tickets are required and can be reserved online at maudlin.richmond.edu or by telephone at 804-289-8980. Oh, hold on.
And this is The Edge of Americana with your host, Otto Conrad, and Josh.
And me, Josh Behrman. And there's one moral absolute, and that is banjo is excellent. Banjos is excellent. Banjos am excellent. That's the moral truth right there for you.
What did we finish that set of music up with?
That was a Kentucky fiddler by the name of Wallace Thompson, recorded in 1988 by Bruce Green, who's a in the world of old-time music, Bruce Green's pretty well known for his collecting and also for his kind of he has good persuasion powers of persuasion, and is able to convince people who own, say, collections of their father playing fiddle or something like that to turn them over, specifically to turn them over to Berea College or to some college's archives, not to turn them over to Columbia Records, you know. But anyway, and that was a tune called The Ace of Spades, a very notey tune indeed.
Before that, we had I think the best term I can use for it is Rockin' Number by Buster Buzz Ezell, and that was also recorded at a college. It was recorded at a college, Fort Valley State College. And I love these dates. I don't know why, but the dates kind of take you to a different place when you hear them. That recording was recorded in March of 1943, right in the middle of World War II.
And who recorded that? Do you know?
No, I'm looking. This is one of these. If you're into old time music and collecting music, you know this label called Document. And they've done a series of reissues over the years, and they don't do a whole lot in the way of liner notes. They just kind of slap these things together and put them out. And as I'm reading through the liner notes here, I don't see a whole lot. It just says here, Buster Buzz Ezell accompanied himself on guitar and harmonica. Ezell sang blues ballads, and several of his own compositions or adaptations in support of the U.S. war effort. In fact, on this record a little bit later, there's something that says like a 5-minute homily called Roosevelt and Hitler.
Yeah.
So anyways, unknown recorder, but it was great music.
And Clyde Davenport, recorded by Jeff Titan before that, a former professor and friend of mine. And that was Cornstalk Fiddle and a Shoestring Bow. That was recorded in Daisy, Kentucky, and at Clyde Davenport's house. And Clyde Davenport's fiddle, I feel like, is just very sweet and very clear. He built that fiddle himself.
And before that, we had the War Horse Going Down the Road Feeling Bad, being played by Uncle Charlie Higgins, Wade Ward, and Dale Poe, all from Grayson County.
Yes, and also recorded in 1959.
Josh and I were talking off mic. 1959 seems to have been a hot year for field recording. It seems like every college-educated young man around was hopping into their VW and heading down south to record something.
And we put on our on WRIR.org on the page for today, I put a picture of the field recorder.
The penultimate.
What's his name?
His name is Lawrence Gellert.
Lawrence Gellert. And he looks to be about like early 20s.
Yeah, 24.
He's baby-faced, blonde, but he's got a pipe.
He's got a pipe stuck in his mouth, and he's wearing army fatigues with a tie. And he looks downright dewy there as he records.
So that's cool. All right, so what looks like we got a little bit more old-time music coming up.
Yes, we're going to do now I'm going to mispronounce their name, and I'll get a call from a good listener here correcting me, but I believe it's pronounced the Sheller Blackyard family.
I was going to say Sheeler Blackyard family.
I'm going to go with you then. Sheeler Blackyard family. Don't call me, please. Sheeler Blackyard family, and this is one of the Field Recording Collective releases, and I love this tune. They do this. This is kind of one of their signature songs. This is Susanna Gal.
Also known as Western Country. Thank you.
This next tune is a Texas tune.
No, we used to have some good times with the houses we lived in was, you know, it wasn't cold out in the outside as cold in the house it was on the inside.
Yeah.
You'd get out there and freeze to death, but my granddad put apples up on the floor, bury them in straw.
Yeah.
And my brother was holding the floor about like that. He got the knife and wheeled it out big enough for us to jerk apple up through that crack on the fireplace and put a little tin over it and just cover that, slide it around there from... My granddaddy wouldn't see it, you know. And we'd sit there and grab us a stick down on the floor and pull us up apple. And eat the apple and throw the core back to the chickens.
Well, that's a pretty good idea.
And the cat hole at every door.
Yeah.
Cat went in one door and out there. And there's cracks in the wall. It rained on us. It rained. It snowed on us.
Well, that's hard times.
No, he knows that fact.
Hmm.
Yeah. I don't know. Well, people stay too close now, don't you think?
Somewhat, yeah.
Yeah. Well, Lord, you could lay and see the stars out the top of the house.
Well, you know, as long as you keep comfortable anyway. I mean, you don't want to be freezing out all the time.
Well, bury yourself down in the straw tick. Everybody had a straw tick then. There was no such thing as a mattress.
Now, straw tick. What's a straw tick?
Well, it's where to make wheat. You know, where to thrash wheat.
Yeah.
I get that straw and put it in the tick.
Yeah.
Put it on the bed, and you'd have to get a stepladder from here to get up in it.
Yeah.
But by spring of the year, then you'd work that all up, you know, and it ain't for them ticks, and wash them, fill them up again for the winter. Never a good bed. And if it wasn't for the straw, you'd froze to death. And spy. A mattress, you couldn't have stood it, because you don't bury down in a mattress.
Right.
Then
you better come up around you.
Yeah, you just keep digging yourself down there like a groundhog, going finding a hole. And
so they were real thick, these straws.
Yeah, they's that deep.
Well, that's a foot and a half, I guess.
Yeah. But you see again, you wallered them around all winter, glide in the spring.
Dump it out. Start all over next winter.
Yeah. My daddy said that his mother filled up straw tick one time and got a snake in it. Got a black snake, it like scared him to death. That man is scared of a snake. He's as bad as I was. We had an old hen laying up and setting up in the barn loft. He went crawling up there to... Mm-hmm. See, but check on him, and met run up on this black snake. Yeah. It's been up there and sucked all his eggs, 17 eggs. I mean, they swallow them whole.
Yeah.
And he hit that snake, knocked it out, you know, where they throw the hay in the window.
Yeah.
And it added it. He come on down and picked that snake up and held it up and shook a little bit, and all them eggs fell out of it. Now, that sounds like an unusual tale, but that's fact.
That sounded like an unusual. Is that right?
That's a truth.
Have you ever heard that a snake, will swallow all these eggs and then crawl around a post and squeeze until it breaks the eggs? Have you ever heard that?
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
You reckon that's true?
Well, I don't know that much about snakes. You could ask him. Now, he was a snake charmer.
Oh,
He'd catch snakes. He's afraid of a snake. Honey, they scare me cold.
Yeah.
But now, he wasn't afraid of a snake. Lord have mercy.
Oh, you don't.
No. But now I am. I'm awful afraid of them. Come, my dear friends and neighbors all, come listen while I tell you concerning of a mighty call took place in Louisiana on Sunday night, as you may know. While we were all asleeping, the Lord from heaven looking down and set this earth to shaking. Some jumping up ran out of doors, others they followed after, others they stood with lifted hands, crying, Lord, what is the matter? As for myself, I must confess, I could but stand and wonder, expecting any moment for some louder claps of thunder. Rest of that night was spinning grief and wishing for the morning. Soon as daylight it did appear, the elements word are come. A walking out about the yard, but the earth is still kept shaking. A full 6 months had rolled around, but the earth is still kept shaking. While the Christians went with their heads bowed down, and the sinners' hearts were aching. Is that all right?
That's real nice. There's nothing wrong with that at all. You ought to be proud of that.
Oh, Lord.
That's good.
Sure enough,
yep.
y'all give me the big head. Too old for my head.
The biggest thing in your body is big.
Well, you know what they say, dead men tell no lies.
What do you say?
He says, dead men tell no lies, and he's dead. He can't lie.
I feel the day I'm gonna pack my suitcase and make my deal. When I'm troubled, I'm all right. And I never be satisfied, and I just can't keep up. Yeah, I know my little old babe, she gonna jump and shout. That old train be late, girl, and I come walking out. When I'm troubled, I'm all worried now. Yet I never be satisfied, and I just can't keep up. Yeah, I know somebody sure been talking to you. I don't need no telling, girl, I can watch the way you come. I'll be all right. Yet I never be satisfied, I just can't keep up. Goodbye, babe. Got no more to say. Just like I've been telling you, girl, you're going to have to meet my friend. But I'm troubled. I'm all worried. Yet I never be satisfied. I just can't keep up. Yeah, my baby, she quit me. Seemed like mama was dead. I got real wood, yeah, and she drove it to my head. I'll be trouble, I'll be all worried now. Yet I never be satisfied, I just can't keep up crying.
Ahem. In the 111th Congress last fall, first session, House Resolution 583, expressing the sense of the House of Representatives that Lester Flatt has made an invaluable contribution to American art as both a songwriter and performer, leaving an indelible legacy in bluegrass music. From Mr. Davis of Tennessee and a whole bunch of other people. Expressing the sense, whereas Lester Flatt was born on June 19th, 1914, in the region of Sparta, Tennessee, whereas Lester Flatt began playing guitar and singing in local churches at a young age, whereas Lester Flatt got his first break playing with Charlie Monroe and the Kentucky Partners in North Carolina in the 1940s, whereas in 1945, Lester Flatt was invited by Bill Monroe to play rhythm guitar and sing with Monroe's band on the Grand Ole Opry, Whereas Lester Flatt, Earl Scruggs, Chubby Wise, Howard Watts, and Bill Monroe are widely credited with the creation of bluegrass music through their band, Bill Monroe and the Bluegrass Boys. Whereas Lester Flatt later joined with Earl Scruggs to create the band Flatt and Scruggs and the Foggy Mountain Boys, which remains one of the most influential bands in bluegrass music. Whereas, in 1969, Lester Flatt parted with Scruggs to form the band Nashville Grass, with whom he performed until shortly before his death on May 11, 1979. Whereas, in 1991, Lester Flatt, along with Bill Monroe and Earl Scruggs, became an inaugural member of the International Bluegrass Music Hall of Fame. And, whereas, Lester Flatt is widely regarded as one of the greatest bluegrass musicians and singers of all times, writing dozens of songs that are considered bluegrass classics. Now, therefore, be it resolved that it is the sense of the House of Representatives that Lester Flatt has made an invaluable contribution to American art as both a songwriter and performer, leaving an indelible legacy in bluegrass music.
Now tonight I'm sad, my heart is weary. I'm wondering if I'm wrong or right. To dream about you though you left me, I wonder where you are tonight. The rain is cold and slowly falling upon my window pane tonight. And though your love was even colder, I wonder where you are tonight. Said you care, but now you're going to find another, someone who knows the love I share. The rain is cold and slowly falling upon my windowpane tonight, and though your love was even colder, I wonder where you are tonight. Smile with all my might, but you could see the pain within me that lingers in my heart tonight. The rain is cold and slowly falling upon my window pane tonight, and though your love is even colder, I wonder where you are tonight.
And there he is, the man himself, the man of the day, Lester Flatt. And I Wonder Where You Are Tonight, again from that 1962 Carnegie Hall performance. And that was nice. And I got to read that silly resolution.
That
but
musty-sounding resolution, Josh.
I know. The song was definitely more exciting than the resolution. But, you know, we don't say whereas enough, I don't think, in our daily conversations.
Unfortunately, I do.
Yeah.
But we won't talk about that.
Let's talk about what we played before that. That was some great music.
Yeah, that was a really, really great recording. It was Muddy Waters sitting on his porch in Stovall, Mississippi. Of course, Muddy Waters went on up to Chicago subsequently and got on a label called Chess and changed blues and rock and roll. But he started out as a field hand down in Stovall, Mississippi, and Alan Lomax found his way down there in August of 1941 and recorded him, and that's one of the that is in fact the second recording he ever made on his porch, and it's a wonderful photograph on the cover of this album. It's called The Complete Plantation Recordings, and he's sitting there proudly posed, holding a copy of one of the acetates that Alan Lomax sent him after he had taped him on that porch. Neat stuff.
And before that, we had Stella Gilbert, who she's the sister of Clarence Ashley, who's fairly well known. And she first was talking about the houses they used to live in, and she's talking about the pine straw and snakes and ticks also, and how she's afraid of them. And then she sang this song, Louisiana Earthquake, which is about the New Madrid earthquake of 1811. According to the USGS, that's the United States Geologic Survey, it was a massive, massive area of damage. It actually ranks as one of the largest in the United States since European settlement. It actually shook 24 states. So how about that? And just as interesting to me as that, because I'm a science nerd, but also, I don't know, this is very interesting. Tecumseh, the very famous Native American, who was a warrior and a diplomat and a peacemaker. And he also was he was a prophet. And apparently, months before the 1811 earthquake, Tecumseh prophesized and predicted the event down to the day. So that's pretty. I mean, that's, you know, this is all from the internet, folks. So you can't. It's not peer reviewed necessarily yet. But I'm going to repeat it. Anyway,
we take it for what it's worth.
Yeah, sure. But that's nonetheless, it's an interesting story. And we started it off with
the Sheila Blackheart family doing Susanna Gal, which has a multiplicity of different names.
Western Country, and also Fly Around My Pretty Little Miss. And also I've heard people call it How Old Are You, My Pretty Little Miss, which is certainly a creepier name to call it.
Nice recording. And it was recorded in their actual house. And you can hear, I'm not quite sure what her name is, but I'm going to say Mrs. Blackyard on the piano, playing on the family piano in her parlor there. It sounds great.
Piano's got a good sound to it. And you're listening to WRIR LP 97.3 FM, Richmond, Virginia, Richmond Independent Radio, and Radio for the Rest of Yous and the Rest of Us. And it is just almost 8 o'clock, and you're on Edge of Americana. And we are playing more field recordings and more live recordings. And right now we've been talking for a little bit, so let's get back to some music. How about
a little Jimmy Wheeler doing Going Back to Old Kentucky?
And here we go. Give us a call if you'd like, 804-649-9737.
Going Back to Old Kentucky.
Forsaken, I wander alone. pleasures of life I must ever bid adieu. I can hear the merry laughs while gathered in the throng, when friends greet friends as they hurry along, in groups on their way for some pleasure to find. Oh God, what affliction it is to be blind. Can hear the babbling brook as it rolls on its way, reflecting its waters on bright summer days. Its sweet and low murmurs are pleasant to me. Its bright and sparkling waters I never more can see. I can feel the gentle breeze as it sweeps o'er the field, bringing in sweet fragrance the flowers do yield. Their sweet and fragrant odors are pleasing to me. Their bright and gay colors I never more can see.
How is bluegrass different than country music? I mean, that's a difficult question to answer, but...
Well, as far as I'm concerned, there wasn't too much difference in it.
Just the name.
Back in 1939 and 40, the Morris Brothers was playing some of what they call bluegrass music. Is now today as good as I've ever heard. But they didn't call it bluegrass then. They was using the same instruments, and... I was playing a three-finger banjo roll with them, and was doing Salty Dog, but, you know, they wrote it. A lot of the songs back then we're still doing today. You had your fiddle breakdowns, your banjo breakdowns, you know. And, the singing, I think the pitch in singing changed. A lot of people started trying to kill themselves by singing as high as Bill Monroe, you know. And, but the music basically never did change.
Did the tune stay pretty much the same, too? You'd add new tunes, of course.
For a while, people got in the habit of tuning high from standard pitch and found out it was pulling necks out of instruments awful bad, and I think finally cut back down to... I notice on the festival circuit now, most of them try to stay in standard tuning. That's where an instrument was made to be tuned at. You imagine a piano being tuned in A or B flat.
What do you think the difference was? You probably heard a lot of old-time string band music when you were growing up around Asheville.
Yeah, sure.
What's the difference between that and the style of music you were playing back in 1939? The banjo style would be different, but what else? What other differences were there?
Hardly any, as I can tell. It's not really changed all that much. Bill Monroe did start a mandolin drive behind the groups that people picked up. But outside of that, I don't see much else that's really changed all that much. Your fiddle takes more breaks now than it did on songs, you know, back then. It was usually left up to... a mandolin did a lot of it. Or your Carter family style guitar, your Delmore brother.
Mm-hmm.
Picking.
Seem to watch my footsteps as I go by. They shake their heads and say I'm riding high. But this thing has done drove me wild, and now it's got me down and made me the top hog of the town. I'll go down to the river and slowly walk around, and if my thoughts don't change a lot, I'll jump right in and around. For after what you've done to me, I know I've grown to be the laughing stock, the talk of the town.
My soul did sing. Go to hang my room, take up one of the bins. So the man come and get it, ain't got no sense. So my baby, my soul is thing. Oh, then I want, I'm gonna do my best. I'm gonna tell that some go to criminal rest. So my baby, my soul is thing. Got a humpback, a little daddy, couldn't it be done? Oh, my baby, my soul is thing. Oh, I believe my soul to have a lucky hand, cause the lady gives thanks to the speak of man. Oh, my baby, my soul is thing. Boom, dang, a little, and a boom, dang, small, boom, dang, just like a rubber ball. Oh, my baby, my soul is thing. Live a lock. How many geese in our flock? Oh, my baby, to my soul this thing. Oh, one through east and one through west. One through over the cuckoo's nest. Oh, my baby, to my soul this thing. On my boom tank on the wire. Hot as fire, oh my baby, my soul is thing. My sister up on my knees, I'm gonna give my food thanks who I please. So oh, my baby, so my soul is thing. Oh, who I want, thing I crave, thank God, carry some love and grave. Oh my baby, so my soul is thing. My man has gone to Disney World. I'm going to my husband, come my man, come for my beef to my soul is
Oh, my goodness, that's the Delta. That song gets the Delta check from me right there.
Yeah, what that's referring to is that when that was put into the Library of Congress, that's a field recording from the late 30s.
1936.
Yeah. His name is Jimmy Struthers. Is that his name?
Yeah, let me give you the lowdown here on Jimmy Struthers, a blind banjo player and guitar player from Virginia. He was recorded in 1936 by Alan Lomax and Harold Spivak, but he was a medicine show entertainer for a long time, and he worked in the mines. Where an explosion took his eyesight, forcing him to earn a living as a street singer.
But things got worse.
They changed even more drastically when he was convicted of murdering his wife with an axe and sent to the state pen in Lynn, Virginia, which is where Lomax and Spivak found him, and they recorded him. They recorded 13 songs, plus a couple alternate takes over 2 days in June 13th and June 14th, 1936. Imagine how hot it was with fellow inmate Joe Lee sharing the vocals. And on one of the tracks, they actually played the guitar, one guitar together. And that song, Otto, was called...
It's most Poontang Little and Poontang Small.
Yeah, and...
And they got the... When it was logged into the Library of Congress, they gave it what's called the Delta Check.
I like that term, the Delta Check. I'm going to start trying to incorporate that into my...
vernacular.
Yeah, into my vernacular, indeed.
Delta Check for erotic materials, so... Yeah. And we'll leave it at that.
Yeah, you can... Yeah. Before that, we had Don Reno talking to Kip Lornell at Don Reno's house about bluegrass music and country music. And then we had Reno and Smiley recorded live in 1957 at the New River Ranch in Rising Sun, Maryland, playing I'm the Talk of the Town. It's just beautiful, beautiful harmony, beautiful duet harmony there. And what do we have before that?
I think we did Bill Tatnall doing a track called Fandango. Georgia recording off one of these document compilations, another late 30s recording, and very nothing in the liner notes at all about Bill Tatnall, but it was a nice instrumental.
Indeed. And before that was Buell Casey with The Blind Man's Lament. That's from an album called Kentucky Old Time Banjo, which was a collection of John Herod. And a lot of great stuff on there. And you can hear there's this really cool syncopation going on with his banjo, which is... not a drop thumb. It's kind of claw hammer, but instead of using a drop thumb, he actually uses his left hand to pluck the banjo. It's kind of an interesting rhythmic effect. And we
start out the set with a very stately tune, Going Back to Old Kentucky by Jimmy Wheeler on the fiddle and Jeff Goring on the guitar. Made at Jimmy's home in Portsmouth, Ohio in the mid-1980s when Jimmy was in his late 60s. What else is here?
That's Gehring, Jeff Gehring.
Jeff Gehring.
Yeah, it's spelled Goring, but yeah.
He was a local radio personality. But anyways, lovely fiddle playing there. Very, 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 very sprightly fiddle. Yeah.
So let's keep moving forward here. It's 8:11 here on Edge of Americana. I have a lot of unaccompanied voice tonight, which I think is okay because Otto's got some good instrumental tunes to round it all out. So let's hear this. This one's an old English tune, actually, that has been brought over, and this is being sung by Eliezer Tillett. And this is from the Warner Collection, and I'll tell you more about her a little later because I didn't pull it out right now. So let's hear it. This is called The Jolly Thrasher.
So I walked out one morning all in the month of May. I met a jolly thrasher and unto him did say, with a staff upon his shoulder and a bottle of good beer, he was happy as a lord who had £1,000 a year. Thrasher, oh thrasher, come tell unto me now, how you maintain your family with only but one cow. Your family, it is large, your wages, it is small, and how you do maintain them, I know not at all. Sometimes a ditch in a hedge in I go. Sometimes I reap, while other times I mow. Sometimes I follow the arrow and the plow. I earn all of my money by the sweat of my brow. When I go home at night, just as tired as I can be, I take my youngest child and dangle it on my knee, while the other ones round me with a rattling and their noise, and this is all the comfort a poor man enjoys. That's all.
Is that all? Oh, that's wonderful.
My husband used to sing that, and he said that was pretty.
Yes, that is pretty.
Oh, like he said, as tired as he could be.
That's a very old song, isn't
that's it?
You yes, can tell it's old. Yes, you can.
Oh, I love that.
Oh, I love it.
I just love it. I can't tell you how much I appreciate it.
I came to town the other night just to hear the noise and see the fight. The watchmen are running all around crying, "Old Dan Tucker done come to town." So get out of bed, old Dan Tucker. He's too late to come to supper. Supper's over and dinner's a-cooking. Old Dan Tucker just standing looking. Now, old Dan Tucker was a nice old man. He used to drive our Darby Ran. He sent it whizzing down the hill. If it hadn't got up, he'd have been there still. So get out of the way for old Dan Tucker. He's too late to come to supper. Supper's over and dinner's a-cooking. Old Dan Tucker just standing looking. Old Dan Tucker and I got drunk, fell in the fire and kicked up a chunk. Fire cold got inside of his shoe. Lord bless you, honey, how the ashes flew. So get out of the way for old Dan Tucker. He's too late to come to supper. Supper's over and dinner's a-cooking. Old Dan Tucker just standing a-looking.
Thank you.
John Cage, Zen Ox Herding Pictures are on view at the University of Richmond Museums through April 7 of 2010. John Cage was a seminal composer, writer, and artist whose interest in East Asian and Indian philosophy led him to abandon intention, memory, and personal taste to focus instead on process and chance in music, performance, and visual art. The exhibition features 55 watercolors created by Cage in 1988 at the Mountain Lake Workshop in Blacksburg, Virginia, and is accompanied by a number of public events. For a schedule of events, museum hours, and directions, visit museums.richmond.edu or call 804-289-8276. And this is the Edge of Americana. This is your host, Otto.
Hi, and this is Josh Behrman.
And we are working our way through a series of field recordings. Field recordings part two, week two of our field recording shows.
Yeah, and I'll just actually, before we get into what we just played, I'll do another little preview. Next week, Otto is actually not going to be here, so it'll just be me once again, but that's, you know, I've done it before. And we're going to do it's going to be a duets program, so we're going to have a lot of brother duets probably, and people who sound like brothers and sisters also, not just brothers. And we're going to have live in the studio a group from right around here, the Honey Dew Drops, who do some beautiful harmonies and some great tunes. So it's going to be a really fun evening indeed.
It sounds good. I'm sorry to miss it.
Yeah. So
we had the Smith Band doing Smithy Rag, and yeah. I'll tell you a little bit about this recording. This is, again, off a collection of field recordings on the Document Records. This is called, Field Recordings Volume 2, North and South Carolina, blah, blah, blah. But it was recorded at a blues festival at Fort Valley State College, which is an African-American college not too far from Macon, Georgia. Recorded by Willis James and Lewis Jones, and it was a annual event of farmers and musicians, and they basically had a blues festival is what it was.
Yeah, and that band was led by Blind Billy Smith, who was a blues guitar player in the 1950s, an associate of Blind Willie McTell. Were they related? Is that why blind?
Both a lot of blinds. I don't know. They're related.
Are they all related? Anyway, just kidding. And that Smithy Rag is actually, according to this, a spirited version of the 1918 popular song Hindustan. So there you go. And before them and that, we had Beckoff, Powell, and Smith recorded live at Galax. That's the Galax Fiddlers Convention. 1986. And that's a tune called Hollow Poplar. And just a really great recording before that. It was just a hopping recording there.
We had the Golden Gate Quartet with Josh White doing the old minstrel standby, Old Dan Tucker.
And we started with Eliezer Tillett doing the Jolly Thrasher, and that was recorded by Frank and Ann Warner in 1951. And that's an old tune. It's it talks about hedging and ditching. So it's definitely an English song, and it's actually sung in England, in Sussex specifically, as the Honest Laborer. And and Eliezer Tillett had a very interesting accent, which you don't hear much anymore in this day and age. I used to live on a little island called Smith Island in the middle of the Chesapeake Bay, where a lot of people still have this accent, as well as Tangier Island and some of these other island communities. But you know, back in the 40s and 50s, and even today in certain areas, but a lot of Appalachia was just like basically a completely isolated island where no one, not that much came in and not that much went out. So you were able to have these really unique kind of throwback accents, Elizabethan accents, which I find to be fascinating indeed. So that's where we are. And actually, we're going to hear a little more from the Warner family and a little more in this vein. This is a woman named Lena Bourne Fish, and this is an old kind of a sailing song from back when called The Jolly Roving Tar. You can give us a call, 804-649-9737.
The Jolly Roving Tar. Ships may come and ships may go as long as the sea doth roll. Each sailor lads just like his daddy loves the flowing bowl. A trip ashore he does adore with a girl that's plump and round. When his mum is gone, it's the same old song. Get up, Jack, jump, sit down. Come along, you jolly brave boys. There's lots of grog in the jar. Let's plow the briny ocean with my jolly roving tar. Another one? When Jack gets in tis then he steers for some old boarding house. He's welcomed in with rum and Jim may feed him on pork sows. He'll lend and stand and not attend till he lies drunk on the ground. When his mum is gone it's the same old song, get up Jack, John, sit down. Come along, you jolly brave boys, there's lots of grog in the jar. Let's prowl the Barney Ocean with a jolly roving tar.
Oh, that's cute.
Well, Jesus died to save me and all of my sin. Oh, while it's glory to God, we're gonna meet him again. I said the Rock Island Line is a mighty good road. If you want to ride, you got to ride it like you're fine. Buy your ticket at the station on the Rock Island Line. Well, the train left Memphis at 9:30. And well, it made it back to Little Rock at 8:49. The Rock Island Line is a mighty good road to ride. If you want to ride, you got to ride it like you're fine. Buy your ticket at the station on the Rock Island Line. Well, Jesus died to save me and all of my sin.
Oh, well, glory to God, we're gonna meet him again.
I said the Rock Island Line
is a mighty good road.
I said the Rock Island Line
is a road to ride.
I said the Rock Island Line
is a mighty good road.
If you want to ride, you gotta ride it like you're fine. Buy your ticket at the station on the Rock Island Line.
Frank, there's been so much interest in Tom Tooley. You taught it to me back in 1938 or 39. I thought it would be fun for you to play it and sing it the way you remember it first, way back.
Okay.
Let's just see how it goes, huh?
All right.
Tom Dooley, hang your head and cry. Kill little Ari Foster, now you're bound to die. Met her on the mountain, there you took her life. Met her on the mountain, stopped her with a knife. Hang your head, Tom Dooley, hang your head and cry. Kill little Ari Foster, now you're bound to die. I'll take down my banjo, pick it on my knee. For this time tomorrow, it'll be no good to me. This time tomorrow, reckon where I'll be. Hadn't it been for Grayson, I'd have been in Tennessee. Hang your head, Tom Dooley, hang your head and cry. Kill little Ari Foster, now you're bound to die. Well, it's time tomorrow, reckon where I'll be. Down in a lonesome valley, hanging on a wide oak tree. Hang your head, Tom Dooley, hang your head and cry. Kill little Ari Foster, now you're bound to die.
The Rock Island Line.
Bowling Green.
Way down there in Bowling Green, the bullfrog solo's going to sing. The bullfrog solo's going to sing. The bullfrog solo's going to sing.
WRIR is celebrating our fifth birthday, and we want to thank each and every one of our supporters for five glorious years on the air. Our creation was the result of the combined efforts of dedicated volunteers and listeners coming together to form a community, and today, hundreds of volunteers work round the clock to give back to the city of Richmond and beyond. You've embraced WRIR and supported it passionately by listening, donating, and becoming involved. Our birthday is a perfect excuse to throw a party. On Friday, February 5th, WRIR celebrates our fifth anniversary with the Party for the Rest of Us, starting at 7 p.m. at the Renaissance Ballroom, 107 West Broad Street. For more information, visit WRIR.org. Come to our party Friday, February 5th. Dance and eat cake.
Last year was a pretty good year for cotton and corn and potatoes. Papa didn't raise no corn at all, but Lord God, potatoes. Sail away, old Joe Clark, sail away, goodbye. Sail away, old Joe Clark, I hate to see you die. Sometimes I fly my old gray mule, other time I fly my muley. Soon as I get this cotton crop by, I'm going home to Julie. Sail away, old Joe Clark, sail away, goodbye. Sail away, old Joe Clark, I hate to see you die.
Clark.
Old Joe Clark.
Yes, indeed. That was Esker Hutchins of Surry County, North Carolina, playing the banjo version there, and that's
off the Field Recording Collectors, yes. Field Recorders Collective release. And then before that, we had another version of Old Joe Clark that was recorded in 1933 at Sugarland Central State Farm Prison by, of course, Alan Lomax. And the performer there was a guy named Moses Clear Rock Platt. And a nice lyric, not what you usually hear with old Joe Clark.
No, definitely not. I should be listening more carefully and stealing these lyrics. Before that, Clyde Davenport, again, with a tune called Bowling Green. I love his banjo playing as well as his fiddling. So that's from an album called Punchin' Camps, which is released by Berea College and recorded by Jeff Titan, who's a professor at Brown University.
And before that, let me just editorialize here for a second. You know, you end up learning so much from doing a show like this. You know, the Rock Island Lion, of course, is such an old war horse. Everybody knows that. But that song, that what you heard, was being done by a guy named Kelly Pace, along with about seven other guys, and they were playing it at the Kooman State Farm in Gould, Arkansas, in October of 1934. And that, in fact, is the very first recording ever of that song. And it started out essentially as a field working song for picking cotton. And I can't even imagine picking cotton that fast at the pace of that.
Yeah, really.
They were moving. Yeah, yeah. They were moving. But that is the beginning of that song, and that, in fact, is the very first recording. Lead Belly recorded it again a few years later and kind of made it famous at that point.
Right.
But that is the first recording by a bunch of prisoners down in Arkansas.
And actually, after that song and before in our little lineup, we had Vernon Sutphin and J.C. Cleave Sutphin doing The Train That Carried My Girl. Well, it's written here home, but I always knew it as The Train That Carried My Girl From Town, which they mean two very different things, unless I guess her home is away from town. And before that was Frank Prophet with Tom Dooley, and that song is a very well-known song, and Frank Prophet's recording in 1938 was, as far as I know, the earliest recording recorded by Frank Warner. Frank Warner, who eventually had to sue the Kingston Trio in order to get the money and some sort of money from that song, yeah. And we also had Lena Bourne Fish doing Jolly Roving Tar, and she's actually from Bourne, Massachusetts, and learned that song from a fellow who used to be a whaler back in the day. And it originates in 1885, that song, so pretty cool. And here we are, going to move forward again. This is still, I found this Warner collection. And I have to admit, I kind of lost it for a little while, which is my own fault. But we're going to hear another beautiful unaccompanied vocal track from that. This is Wake Awake, You Drowsy Sleeper.
Awake, awake, you drowsy sleeper. Awake, awake, it is almost day. How can you sleep? You cruel creature, since you have stolen my heart away. Oh, hush, 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 don't you wake my mother. No songs of love you can let me hear. If you sing songs, go wake or some other, and whisper lowly in my ear. My father lies on the naked temple, picking up his natural rest. In his right hand he holds a weapon. He swears he'll kill the one I love best. Come, Molly Bond, come, you stop my pining and sit you down by the side of me and throw your loving arms around me and say you love no one but me. So I'll go with you in some lonesome valley. And there I will spend my days with you. Although my need will be a precious being, and the water I drink of the morning dew. pretty flower was me to bloom, love. Pretty star was me to shine. Pretty girls was me for boys, love. And maybe you was me for mine.
Season. There's someone there to shout at me without the slightest reason. If I go to the concert house to have some jolly fun, there's someone there to shout at me, where did you get that hat? Where did you get that hat? Where did you get that tie? Isn't it another good one and just in the proper style? I should like to have one just the same as that. For where I go, I hear them shout, "Hello, man! Where did you get that hat?" Thank you.
tune. That's a fine tune.
Three nights drunk right there. That's
three nights drunk, though. I have to say, my little playlist, it got written down as three nights stroke.
Which
might also happen.
After a three-night drunk.
That was a J.E. Maynor in the group, recorded by Alan Lomax in 1959. J.E. Maynor, of course, a big recording artist in the 1930s, and there he was recording for the amateur microphone of Alan Lomax.
Yep. And before that, we had... Ward Jarvis doing Pretty Little Indian. That's a Jeff Gehring recording. And before that, Edith Perrin, also from the Warner Collection, Where Did You Get That Hat? And she's actually, she was actually one of their Jamaican maids. And that's an old vaudeville tune from the 1880s that I guess made it to Jamaica right there. And go ahead.
Before that, I guess it was another
Lightning in Washington.
Yeah, yeah, the Hammering song recorded in 1934 at the Darrington State Farm in Sandy Point, Texas. Prisoners with an axe on a log. Sounded good.
And we started it with Wake Awake, You Drowsy Sleeper, which is also Awake Awake, My Own True Lover, basically. And that's Rebecca King-Jones recording that, and she's from around Raleigh, and that was recorded in 1940. And you should see this woman sitting in her chair with her – she's got her apron on and a full kind of blousy skirt dress and this – a bonnet. She's wearing a bonnet. It would appear. Is that a bonnet? Am I looking at a bonnet?
That would be a bonnet. She looks like Grandma in Beverly Hillbillies.
She does look a little bit. She could be on the back of a jalopy. Anyway, and that's just a beautiful, beautiful recording. And that's all from the Warner Collection. Frank and Ann Warner, not as well known as some other field recorders, but certainly good enough. And let me correct myself. Grayson and Witter recorded Tom Dooley in 1929 for the Victor label, which makes it. That much more confusing to me that Frank Warner was able to get the copyright money going to Frank Proffitt and also to Alan Lomax for the publishing. So interesting, but I am corrected, and there we go. So we've had a good time tonight, and Lee here is here ready for the Lee Show, and I think we're going to go out with just one more. Otto, what's this last thing?
We're going to do one more Cane Fife thing with Bessie Jones singing and Ed Young on the Cane Fife and Hobart Smith on guitar.
And stick around for Lee Show and everything else the WRIR has for you. That's the wrong one.